It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9, and that can only mean one thing. Jackson, Kevin, and Christian are all in Studio A. Special guest Owen Pulley is joining us, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Sports Spotlight of November 4th, 2021. I'm Jackson Watt, your host, joined alongside Kevin Gleva and Owen Pulley, filling in for Christian Hernandez. Owen usually is a special guest, and we got a good show for coming at you, and kind of a remodel of the show that you've heard in past weeks. Things are going to be a little different around here. So we do have a Twitter account now, so you can follow us at @S_spotlight. So follow that. That's our official show, and you can hear what's going on, what will be talked about, and what will happen. But this show is going to consist of, I mean, last week the Colts, tough loss overtime versus Tennessee. There's a lot to talk about that one. That was a heartbreaker, to say the least. MLB World Series happened over the week. The Pacers winning kind of consistently of late. They've won two straight. Kind of a wild for that team.
They're still, I believe, there. That's a streak.
That's their first streak of the season.
Yeah.
They've only won three games and lost six. But, hey, Caris LeVert is back and healthy, and he looks good so far for the Pacers. And, I mean, NFL Week 8 last Sunday and week, and then Week 9 be coming up since we did not have a show last Tuesday. We're going to be all doing it here. So let's just get right into it. Colts-Titans. I mean, the Titans won 34-31 on a game-winning field goal by the Titans kicker in overtime. I mean, this game was ugly, to say the least, 34-31. And the Colts had a 14-point lead in the first quarter. They dominated the team. I mean, this game was not close. And then Tennessee obviously came marching back. Big news out of Tennessee. Derrick Henry going to miss most likely the rest of the season with a foot injury suffered in this game, which is a talking point later. I mean, that does give the Colts some sense of hope. The Titans ended up signing Adrian Peterson and Devontae Freeman. So two veteran backs. Peterson, 36, one of the best backs ever in NFL history, but he's not one of the best backs in the league now.
No, very old. And especially for a running back that old. I mean, running back's a position where you get hit a lot. And so, I mean, his body already has a lot of wear and tear on it. So it would be interesting to see how he gets used in Tennessee.
I have a kind of a hot take here for the Titans. I do believe with Derrick Henry gone, obviously you need a running back. But signing Adrian Peterson, I believe that's a way of showing that Ryan Tannehill just doesn't have it. And they're not going to use him as in the pass game more. I think they're trying to sign Adrian Peterson to just give him the ball and have him run it like he did with Derrick Henry. Because a lot of people say that Tannehill's this great quarterback. He really just has Derrick Henry to give the ball to. I mean, he's making good plays with Brown and Jones, but really just giving the ball to Derrick Henry.
Well, I think it gives him an opportunity to show what he can do. Because, I mean, when you have King Henry in your backfield, I mean, a good game plan is hand the ball off to him, hand the ball off to him, pitch the ball to him. So now it's just an opportunity for him to show what he can do throwing the ball more.
I mean, the Tennessee Titans do have a tough schedule coming up, but we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. But this game, Colts-Titans last Sunday at 1 o'clock, I mean, the Colts jumped out early. And then they obviously did what they always do, and they let up. They let off the gas. And one big thing that was kind of an important piece is Jonathan Taylor. 70 rushing yards, a rushing touchdown, only 16 carries, and they went away from him in the second half. For some reason, they've done that every game. They've lost the games they win, they go to him in the second half, but they've only beat bad teams. So, I mean, the Colts 3-5, Titans 5-2. I mean, the Titans are obviously 6-2, actually, the favorites to win the AFC South. But going in the fourth quarter of this game, okay, the Colts have a lead. The Titans march down and score. It's a tie game, I do believe, 24-24, okay? The Colts have the ball at the 3-yard line. If you're Frank Reich, you have a all-pro running back in the backfield, okay? You want to get out of that position, but instead he calls a screen pass to a tight end. And that ends up in Carson Wentz not throwing it to the feet of Mo Alley Cox. And it was a smart play. Originally, he put it probably against, took it down for a safety. He throws it to his left hand and chucks it, yeah. Interception pick six. But a pick six is better than a safety, which would have been a ball game. The Colts ended up marching down the field, scoring, going into overtime. Carson Wentz chucks it to Michael Pittman Jr. on the sideline, incomplete. Actually, no interception. And, I mean, Jonathan Taylor wide open in the middle of the field, and that's the big controversy. As, I mean, every single sports media outlet is going to say Carson Wentz is terrible. He sucks. And, yes, he did make two bad decisions. I mean, the safety, I mean, the interception for a touchdown. I mean, that wasn't the worst of the decisions. I think the play call by Reich is terrible. I don't know why you're calling it. You know they're blitzing because they think you're going to run with Taylor. And, obviously, you call a screen, try to break something. But I don't think you call it right there. I mean, but I don't know. Just the play calling by Reich this year has been decent at times, but subpar most of the year. And I think that's going to be a big talking point. And Wentz, 231, three touchdowns, two interceptions. I mean, he at one point, he had around 200 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. He threw the ball 51 times. Okay, the Colts do not win games throwing the ball 51 times. We saw that last year with Rivers. The two times he threw over 50, they lost.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Wentz threw over 50, and obviously they lost this game. And the Colts were easily in this game, and they could have easily won. I mean, if he hits Taylor on the checkdown, I mean, Taylor's going for 15.
I think that with Reich being a quarterback and his past as a player, I think that he wants to pass the ball more than running. Obviously, he knows how to read defenses being a quarterback in the NFL, but I think that they need to run the ball a little bit more with Taylor. He's a good running back, and they don't show that enough right now. Like only 16 carries compared. I know you're comparing apples to oranges, really, when you compare any running back, in that case, to Derrick Henry. But he had 28 carries, only 68 yards, 2 yards less than Jonathan Taylor, but he's been averaging many, many yards per game.
I mean, like you said, Henry has been dominant. He has like 900 yards already, and he's going to most likely end with that.
I think he has more yards. I read a thing that he has like the most amount, or the same amount of yards that he has is like, if you were to rank them with the teams put together rushing yards, he'd be like third or fourth.
Mm-hmm. Third.
Mm-hmm. Third.
Yeah. But, I mean, like I said, his season's most likely over. Yes. At least the regular season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, his yardage is, he's not going to get 1,000 this year.
I think the postseason could be done too, because by the time he gets back, it'll be week 17, week 18.
Maybe.
With that added game, I don't know if he'll be ready.
We will have to see. I mean, they do have Adrian Peterson, but I think the rushing title, if the Colts feed Jonathan Taylor, Taylor's obviously going to have to be the front runner. I mean,
that's a big if, though.
I think if they feed him, he's going to get it. I mean, won AFC Player of the Week, Player of the Month, actually, today. So, I mean, he's been a dominant force for the Colts. I mean, this last past month, 500 total yards. I mean, 500 rushing yards, 400, like, something yards, 600 total yards receiving and rushing. I mean, he's been dominant for the Colts. And you got to feed Taylor. I mean, if the running game opens up, if you can run the ball, the passing game will open up. And I think that's what they've done. They've been successful at points, but they just get behind, and they always think, got to throw it.
That's what the Chiefs are struggling with right now, too.
They cannot run at all. The Chiefs are terrible.
They have no run game, and no everybody defense. Yeah, everybody expects a pass. Now, the Colts' defense is better than the Chiefs, I believe, but everybody's expecting a pass from Mahomes, and when you're expecting a pass, that's all you can do, and I think that's what the Colts are doing right now, even though they have a running game that they can use. Like you said, there's no reason why Wentz should be throwing 50 times in a football game. That's what I know they started off 11-0 last season, but I think that's what the Steelers struggled with, is that Roethlisberger was throwing 50 times a game.
Mm-hmm.
And
they had no run game.
Yeah. They're not compared to each other, like with age and arm strength and stuff like that. Not Mahomes. Wentz and Roethlisberger, but still, no quarterback should be throwing 50 times a game.
Ruffensberger sucks. He's not good.
He's just old.
Yeah. He's a fossil.
But he's not. But he's not like not stealthy, but in shape like Brady is, as much as he is, which is why Brady's.
He's not mobile.
Yeah. What is he? 44, 45? Brady?
He's 44. Yeah.
Brady's a pocket passing quarterback, but he can still move a little bit.
Yeah. I mean,
so he's not.
He can extend plays.
Yeah. And that's what Roethlisberger struggles with, is that he is not mobile at all.
But the real question is, do you think Carson Wentz is still the future quarterback for the Colts?
No. I don't think so. I think that he'll play a couple more seasons, and I think that Ellinger will get better.
Ellinger.
Something.
Really? You think he's going to be the future?
I think that he could be. I don't know. Okay. He's pretty good.
Okay, Texans fan.
I'm not even a
rocking your Tyrod Taylor jersey right now.
Definitely the hurt kicker of the Colts right now. I don't know if he'll get a job back when he's coming. Who's their new kicker now?
Bagley,
he hasn't, I mean,
he hasn't missed in a game.
The Colts don't really cook or kick that much. I mean, his longest was,
I mean, if they had, if the Colts had Justin Tucker, they probably are 5-2 right now. I mean,
yeah.
Hit bombs.
And the Lions, that means the Lions would have a win too.
Yeah, the Lions. Feel bad for them 0-8. Other scores around the league. Packers, big win over the Cardinals. Cardinals undefeated. Packers won 24-21. But big news over there in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers not going to play this Sunday night versus Kansas City with COVID. So, I mean, that's just a big loss for Green Bay.
Yeah, it's time for Jordan Love to step up, get his chance. I mean, he's got some solid arm talent, so it's just a chance for him to show what he can do.
I mean, if he plays good, I mean, Green Bay might be willing to move away from Rodgers. I mean, obviously you don't want to, but Rodgers does not want to be there.
I feel like they did the same thing with Brett Favre, too, when they drafted Rodgers when Favre was still the quarterback, and then he played really well and just kept playing pretty well when Rodgers was there. I don't think Rodgers will let up. And with that, like, I think the Packers should have won that game last. I mean, they did, but they had that one drive in the end zone, the drive previous to when the Cardinals had the drive where they got in and then they called it back, and then they got in again and they called it back. And then AJ Green just retired mid play or something.
Yeah, he had a little bit of an out route in the end zone.
Which is funny is that the person who got the pick, I completely forgot his name, was a Cardinal like a week or two before.
Well, maybe he knew what was coming.
Maybe.
I don't know, but I mean, that was a good game, and Aaron Rodgers not going to play Sunday night at Kansas City. But a game that was kind of under the radar, it was an extremely good game, and a guy who has only made one NFL career start and will be traveling tonight to Indianapolis to take on the Colts, Mike White and the Jets.
Yeah.
Oh, he gets the Sports Spotlight Player of the Week.
Yeah. I completely forgot about the player of the week.
Mike White, 400 yards, and he just played amazing. 400 yards, I mean, he caught a touchdown.
Three tutties, two picks. Is that right?
No tutties. Yes. Tutties is bad. Bad.
What? Do you like touchdowns more than tutties? Tutties. Yes. Tutties.
No tutties.
He's not a fan of it.
I don't like that word.
Great radio guy, Derek Schultz likes that. Tutties.
No, he doesn't like it.
I thought he liked it.
No, he hates it.
Oh, he hates it?
Yes.
Oh.
Tutties.
I thought he liked it.
No. Don't say that.
Sorry. Three touchdowns.
Touchdowns, yes.
And two interceptions. I think that he is massively overrated right now.
What?
I mean, he had a good game. I still think that he's overrated.
He is overrated. Right now. He's terrible. I mean, he had a good game against
the Bengals. Then why did he get the Sports Spotlight Player of the Week?
Because he played good. But he's not good. It's not like I'm saying he's going to be the next Peyton Manning.
He had like one of those like movie like performances where he comes out of nowhere and has this huge game.
I mean, so let's say he destroys the Colts tonight. I'm also going to be leaving the Colts fandom if he does. But
Jordan Peyton is a Jets fan.
No, I won't be doing that one. I would never be
Jets
fan.
I think Darrell Revis just like came out of retirement or something and just locked up Jamar Chase last week.
I don't know, but that Jets defense was terrible, and they played really good. But 405 yards, 37 for 45, three touchdowns, two interceptions. I mean, if this Mike White guy, my cousin.
Wait, what? Oh.
Yeah. It's a joke, Owen.
I forgot your last name's White.
Okay. Hello. But if he, let's say he puts up 300, three touchdowns, the Colts and the Jets win. Okay, I will hop on the Mike White train. And I will say, he is the future of the Jets. Bye-bye, rookie. You're not coming back. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Mike White is going to struggle. I put Mike White in the same category as Davis Mills. Davis Mills has made a couple good plays this year. But is he the future of the Texans?
No.
No.
Probably not. So I think it was just a fluke. I mean, everyone has their superstar game. So, I mean, the ultimate testament's going to be the night. And obviously...
Darius Leonard's getting, like, two interceptions.
Oh, I would love it. I'm going to be there. You're going to be there?
Yep. DeForest Buckner.
Kevin's not going to be there.
I'm not going to be there.
Aren't you a Browns fan, Kevin?
Yes. I still root for the Colts, though.
We'll talk about the Browns in a minute. They got some stuff going on, too.
Oh, boy.
Odell.
Oh, boy. But I mean, this tonight, shifting to now the game tonight, it's Thursday Night Football. The first time the Colts have hosted a primetime game in about 1,400 days. And they get to host the Jets. At home, but...
Couldn't have it any other way.
I mean, yeah, I like to see the Colts get a big win on Thursday night. And if they lose, Hashtag Fire Reich.
On national TV.
On national TV. I mean, there's no
fine.
Combat.
Nobody watches Thursday Night Football.
I mean, no. People watch. I mean, the primetime games so far this year, besides like 2 weeks ago on Thursday night, have been really good.
I like, my favorite one so far has been the Cowboys and the Buccaneers week one. Thursday Night Football, that was a good game.
Yeah, you a fan of the Cowboys?
No.
Oh. You kind of look like it.
What, just
He's a big Texas guy, yeah.
I hate the Astros, hate the Rockets. We'll get into it later.
Yeah, the MLB World Series came to an end a couple days ago, and the Astros did not hold the championship, to say the least. But now, shifting to other games in the league, Panthers got a big win over the Falcons, 19-13. Bills beat the Dolphins, 26-11. Dolphins 1-7 on the season. The Eagles beat the Lions, 44-6. Feel bad for Detroit. Rams beat Texans, 38-22. The Niners got a big win over the Bears, 33-22. Patriots beat the Chargers in a game that no one really saw coming. The Patriots are a scary team in the AFC. And, I mean, if they get hot at the right time. Ooh, the Chargers started off hot, have slowed down after the bye. The Chargers season could be in jeopardy.
I think that Mac Jones is massively underrated right now. I mean, people talk about him, but I feel like not enough.
He's the best rookie quarterback for sure right now.
No Davis Mills?
Well,
no, Davis Mills is the GOAT.
No, Mac Jones is easily the best quarterback right now playing, rookie quarterback right now playing.
I like Mac Jones.
And people are not talking about him enough. And that's really all I have to say about that situation in New England.
Yeah, I'm not a New England fan at all.
Never have been.
I'm definitely not a Belichick fan. But I do like Mac Jones. He's a good quarterback.
I'm starting to like Brady more. I don't know why.
It's because he's in Tampa Bay. He's on TV. He's in every single commercial. He's a fun guy. It's just Belichick made him look like a robot.
That is true.
So
he's free.
He's free. And I mean, if Tom Brady played his whole career in Tampa Bay, I probably would have liked him more. But Tom Brady wouldn't have 7 championships either.
Yeah, because he also wouldn't have been in the same...
Those Patriot teams were loaded.
The same conference as
everyone,
Colts.
Everyone thinks that those Patriot teams were all just Brady. Brady had a big factor. But those defenses that the Patriots had in the early 2000s and 2010s, those defenses were good.
I think that if they were in the... If Brady played his entire career in Tampa, the Colts would be in about 4 or 5 more Super Bowls than they have been.
Peyton Manning would have at least 5 rings.
Yeah.
Easily. I mean, the Colts were the team to beat almost
Peyton Manning
every
was probably,
year.
Peyton Manning would probably, honestly, be better than Brady right now if he played in Tampa.
But who knows?
Right. We'll never find out.
So, I mean, as of right now, Tom Brady's the GOAT. But Saints beat the Buccaneers 36-27. Big win for the Saints. They got the running back in Mark Ingram. Got traded there from Houston. So the Saints, big win. Loss for the Saints, though. Jameis Winston, ACL injury. He'll be out for the year. Feel bad for Jameis, but he was dancing in the locker room after the win.
Yes, on a crush.
I was really excited for Jameis Winston, especially.
He was having a good year.
Yeah, he was having a good year, and especially coming back from that not good season with 30 interceptions, 30 touchdowns. And
that's unheard of.
I know. You've heard of the 30-30 minute baseball, 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases, but never in football.
Trevor Siemian time in New Orleans, though.
Trevor Siemian, the former Broncos starting quarterback after Peyton Manning. Siemian, he led the Saints to the win. Buccaneers 6-2, Saints now 5-2.
He had 160 yards and a touchdown with no picks on the day, so solid performance really by him.
But he's kind of a guy. He's a good backup, but I don't think he's ever going to be a starter. Other scores around the league, Seahawks destroy the Jaguars 31-7. Sunday Night Football, Cowboys beat Vikings 20-16. And the story of that game was the backup quarterback, Cooper Rush, throwing to Amari Cooper in the end zone. That was the score. Cowboys win.
Cooper to Cooper.
Cooper to Cooper. Broncos beat the football team 17-10. Monday Night Football. And a close one. Kansas City wins 20-17, but the Giants are right there. And this Kansas City team, I mean, I am just, I don't think they're going to do anything. They're not good.
No, they're very lackluster this year. Like I said earlier, that they don't really have a run game right now. And it's easy to read when you know what's coming. It's going to be a pass almost every time. And the defense is just not good right now. And Mahomes is trying to do everything in his power, making like left-handed throws. He's doing everything he can right now, but just nothing's happening.
Yeah, I think a big part about it, like you said, like reading what their offense is doing. And of course, the Chiefs don't have a great O-line either. So, I mean, when the defensive line can take care of a lot of like run plays and stuff, I mean, it makes the job a lot easier for coverage guys, secondary, outside linebackers, that sort of thing. So, really, the Chiefs are a much easier team to plan for these days than what they used to be.
And how about the Browns? What's going on with them? They lost 15-10 last week. And, I mean, Odell Beckham Jr., one reception, 6 yards. And now he did not get traded at the NFL trade deadline. And now head coach Kevin, how do you say his last name? Browns coach.
Oh, it's I'm blanking on it here. Stefanski, Kevin Stefanski, yeah.
Yeah, he said that Odell Beckham Jr. will not be on the team, so.
Well, he didn't say he will not be on the team.
No,
he was excused from practice and said, like, going forward, there's some stuff they got to work out.
No, he said he's no longer on the team.
He's not. He
Ben
hasn't
Simmons
been,
type heat.
Yes, it kind of is like that, though.
I don't know. But is Odell Beckham Jr. even good?
He's good. I just think that he's.
Do we know if
he's
good,
though? He's got too much drama.
Is he a one-catch wonder?
I think that.
I mean, he had a couple good seasons.
Yeah. Boosted his stardom, but I think that he had a really good quarterback to work with. And now that he's got Baker Mayfield's a good quarterback, but he's not an Eli Manning type quarterback.
And I think.
When you have a good quarterback.
Eli Manning was not good. What? Eli Manning was not a super good quarterback, at least whenever Odell Beckham Jr.
was
there.
Towards the twilight of his career.
I mean, he was still a good quarterback up until he retired.
No. There was times where, I mean, the Giants sucked. There was only one time he was decent in Odell Beckham Jr.'s rookie year. They went on a boat, and they haven't been the same since. Eli Manning, in the end of his, like, let's say the last 5 years of his career was not good. And I mean, in all reality, Eli Manning was never a star quarterback.
Maybe the Mannings just don't see eye to eye when ending their career like Peyton.
What is it? Champion?
Peyton ended his career with a champion.
Yeah, Peyton Manning's last year, he went 9 touchdowns, 7.
Wasn't he Super Bowl? No, Von Miller was. Never mind. I was going to say, wasn't he Super Bowl MVP? But it was Von Miller. Speaking of Von Miller.
Yeah, Von Miller going
to
be
to the Rams.
To the Rams. The Rams load up again on defense. And that's just wild there.
Aaron Donald,
I mean, that defense is going to be
Ramsey.
Holy.
Like, they're going to be really good.
Yeah, I mean, they just keep adding stars. And, I mean, they got
first-round picks of the past, I guess.
Yeah, they got high-talent positions filled all over the place on their defense. Secondary, linebacker, line.
I mean, imagine Tennessee takes on them next week, Sunday night. That's going to be a game. But now going to NFL Week 9, big games of the week, Colts taking on Jets Thursday night. I mean, who do you got? Colts? I mean, we did a poll on our Twitter. You can follow it at @the_spotlight, brand new. And our poll, let's go look at the results. 20 votes, and the Colts are running 90% to 10. So that is a good one. I mean, our Twitter says the Colts are going to win by a big margin.
What is it? Only two people have voted the Jets.
I think the Colts will be taking this one tonight. I don't think it will be an insane blowout or anything, but it will be a comfortable win.
I think that the defense will really shine through tonight more for anything for the Colts, and I think that the Colts will take this win.
I'm thinking like 17-21 point. Three possession sort of.
I think it's going to be a little bit more. I think it's going to be like 28, maybe 18, 17 maybe.
I think the rising star, Michael Pittman Jr., is going to have himself a night. 150, 2 touchdowns. Carson Wentz is going to come back.
What's funny is Lucas on the morning show this morning said 2 touchdowns, 150.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think he's going to have a day, to say the least. I think
Jonathan Taylor's going to have a day. I think they're going
to... He'll have 150 yards at halftime, and he'll get two more yards the rest
I've
time.
Heard that...
And they'll be up by 30.
Wentz called off 8 run plays on the game on Sunday.
Maybe he just wants to pad his stats. Throw the ball. Get some yards and touchdowns.
Or a chuck one up deep.
I think that Wentz is playing the screw it, Pittman's out there somewhere method right now.
Well, I mean, there was definitely...
He's only thrown three interceptions
this year.
Well,
there was definitely one play that immediately pops up into my mind. It was Pittman in the middle of the field, surrounded by about 3 people, just threw up a prayer, and Pittman went up and got it.
So. I still remember when he mossed a dude.
He said, yeet.
In San Francisco.
But that's this Thursday night tonight. Other big games are in the league. Bengals taking on Browns. I mean, that's going to be a good one as well.
AFC North division matchup right there.
Bengals coming off a loss.
And the Browns coming off a loss too. So, I mean, that's really going to show.
The Bengals are coming off a beatdown.
But the Jets.
Yeah.
Mike White, the GOAT of Owen's favorite player. And then another good game, Ravens taking on the Vikings. And a game of the 1-7 powerhouses. Dolphins taking on Texans. Owens taking the Texans.
Oh my!
And Sunday night, Jordan Love versus Patrick Mahomes, Packers Chiefs. And then Monday night is going to have. That's not Sunday night. It's actually Sunday afternoon. But Sunday night will be the Titans taking on the Rams. Ryan Tannehill without Derrick Henry. We'll be going against the Rams now with Von Miller, Aaron Donald, and Jalen Ramsey. I have the Rams by a million. Cardinals, 49ers. That's a division better there as well. Monday night, Bears, Steelers, 2 of the best teams decades ago. They're decent now. I'm going to take the Steelers in that one. And that's going to wrap up our NFL segment. Thank you to Owen for joining the show. He has to go through other things now in school, but thanks, Owen, for joining the show. Yeah, school. Who does that? But we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back. This has been the Sports Spotlight.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Pass it on.
Here's a short quiz. Who won Best Actress last year? Who won the World Series 2 years ago? And finally, name your favorite teacher.
Pass it on.
Now, I'm guessing that the last question was the easiest. Why is that? Because that person made a difference in your life. So, go ahead and make a difference. Because making a difference is in you.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. We're on Indy's Giant 90.9. You're in the second half of the show. Jackson Y here with Kevin Gleva, and we have a good one as well. And how about them Indiana Pacers? 2 consecutive wins.
Yeah.
It might be 3-6, but hey, you got to give it up to them. Yeah. Yeah, it's almost Thanksgiving. Turkeys. But the Pacers, 2 consecutive wins. Miles Turner last night had himself a career night. 25 points, 13 rebounds, 3 blocks, 7 three-pointers made. Miles Turner, have yourself a night.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big man, but he was stepping out behind the arc last night, knocking down shots, being able to make a big impact on the offensive end, which really had been in question so far this season for him. So be able to see him flourish in a game and hopefully maybe make that rim a little bit bigger for him going in the rest of the season is a great thing to see.
Malcolm Brogdon returned to the lineup last night. 17, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. Domantas Sabonis got in foul trouble early. 10.7 rebounds, 2 steals. But the big point of this game was Caris LeVert back in the lineup for the second straight game. Pacers have won 2 straight. LeVert 21 and 5 assists. And, I mean, this is big news for the Pacers as they looked terrible early in the season. They came back now, and they do look elite, to say the least. I mean, kind of. I mean, they only have 3 wins, the 3-6. But they've beat 2 good teams, and they beat the Spurs. They beat Miami early in the season, and 4 out of the 5 starters. They beat a Knicks team that is a playoff contender. I mean, this Knicks team does not play. They're a good team. And the Pacers, big win. And, I mean, just shout out to the Pacers because, I mean, this offense is finally figuring it out. One thing that is a little bit questionable is I just don't know why they're not playing O'Shea Brissett.
Yeah, kind of someone who got minutes when there was more injuries going around the team. And, like, we were talking about it. I told Jackson that I always liked him. I thought he was kind of an energy player, kind of gritty, get rebounds, play defense, and just make energetic plays sort of guy. But now that some people are coming back, I mean, he's been taken out of the lineup. Just an interesting move by the staff there.
Big news over there in the Pacers coaching staff with injuries. Head coach Rick Carlisle announced last night that T.J. Warren's skin was good, so he will not be missing months. It will only be weeks. So I do expect T.J. Warren to return in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And, I mean, that's big news. T.J. Warren has not played since the bubble. He averaged 30 in the bubble. So maybe T.J. Warren can come back and be the guy again. And that's really going to come with kind of a question. Chris Duarte, then the 24-year-old rookie, he's number one in the rookie polls right now to win Rookie of the Year. I mean, he's averaging 16. He's looked good. He only had 10 last night versus the Knicks, but he hit a buzzer beater in the first quarter. I mean, Chris Duarte has been an extremely talented player. And, I mean, when T.J. Warren comes back, do you just bump him right in there? Or do you leave Duarte on the, I mean, starting, and do you put Warren to the bench?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of a big question surrounding this lineup right now. And I think what you got to do is just keep the lineup the same right now once Warren is healthy. Bring Warren in off the bench. Get him some minutes. Get him used to playing in NBA games again, as he hasn't played in one in so long. And then if he starts to play really well and kind of outperform Duarte, then make the switch in the starting lineup. But if not, and he's still kind of getting used to playing again, then keep Duarte in there as he's been able to be successful.
Yeah, as of right now, I mean, Duarte has made basically, he leads all rookies in most statistics in scoring. I mean, he's been a talented shooter. He can hit a step back. I mean, he is just a heck of a player, and he's really shown it. And, I mean, I did not like the pick, I'll be honest, whenever he was drafted to pick 13. I mean, a 24-year-old rookie, like, what? But, I mean, he's proved me wrong. I mean, he's a talent, and that number 3 for Duarte, I mean, that could be a jersey hanging in my closet soon if he keeps on playing the way he does. I mean, he's been a talent. Pacers 3-6, and they're going to try to turn it around. They beat the Knicks. The Knicks are now 5-3. And looking around the NBA, your top 8 in the Eastern Conference goes Miami, Philadelphia. The Bulls have an impactful season so far, 6-2. The Raptors have won 5 straight at the 5 seed, actually 4 seed. The Nets, 5-3 in the 5, 6-7-8. Go to the Knicks, Wizards, and Cavaliers. Pacers are 13th, but climbing fast. If they can get on a streak, they'll be right back in the contention for a playoff spot. Over to the West, it goes Jazz, Warriors, Mavericks as 1, 2, and 3 seeds. Jazz and Warriors both 6-1. Warriors big win last night. And, I mean, the Warriors are rolling. Stephen Curry having another MVP season, to say the least. Mavericks looking good. Porzingis, Doncic, they're the 3rd seed. 4, 5, and 6 belong to the Grizzlies, Lakers, and the Nuggets. The Lakers started off rough 0-3, have won 5 straight. The Grizzlies look good. Ja Morant having a bounce-back 3rd year. I mean, he had a great year last year, but he's looking even better now. And 7-8 go to the Kings, and then Suns. Suns kind of had a rough patch to start the year. They're 3-3. And below them is the Los Angeles Clippers, which Paul George is averaging 33 points a game and looking like an MVP favorite. If the Clippers can win some games, Kawhi Leonard not playing just yet. And the Pelicans, 1-8. I mean, this team had so much talent, 1-8. And then you got the Pistons in 1-6 in the Eastern Conference. I mean, so far, I mean, you can't really tell who's the best teams. Obviously, we do think the Nets, the Lakers are going to be at the top. But the Heat are 1, and the Jazz are 2 as the top 2 teams in each of their conferences. Miami's only lost Indiana, and they've won all their other contests. But, I mean, who do you think is the favorite out of both conferences?
You know, I think kind of one of the interesting things about the Eastern Conference right now is, of course, the Nets are 5-3, and they had a big media attention regarding Kyrie Irving as he currently can't play due to vaccination status and all that stuff. But it recently said that the mayor or someone high up in New Jersey, or Brooklyn, I should say, is kind of going to review that, see if Kyrie Irving maybe will be able to play without getting the vaccination. So, that, I mean, that immediately adds a lot of talent to the Nets. And if he can come back, I would say they are the favorite in the East. But, I mean, I think the East will be a tight race. I mean, the 76ers are 6-2 right now, which, I mean, with the Ben Simmons trouble they have had, it's kind of almost surprising a little bit they've been able to get out to such a hot start. And the Bulls having a hot start too. But, I mean, I guess if I had to choose one, I think I'll say the Bucks. I mean, they're 4-4, but they have some injuries right now. Giannis is still playing well. But I think they would be able to come back. And, I mean, it's a long season, so they still have a lot of time. But in the Western Conference, I think I'm going to give it to the Warriors. They're 6-1, sitting at number 2 right now. Steph Curry's playing well. They got Andrew Wiggins. He's been having an all-right season. Jordan Poole just had 31 points. He's a younger player for the Warriors, so they still have a lot of weapons and are playing well.
Yeah, and I mean, there's lots of favorites, but going now to the Pacers back again, I mean, they have a tough schedule coming up. Tomorrow they play the Trailblazers, and they always struggle there. And then they play the Kings, Nuggets, Jazz on their Western Conference road trip. And, I mean, if this team can get rolling at the right time, I mean, they're going to be right back in contention. I mean, Miles Turner could easily be the best player on this team if they let him do his thing. But Turner, he's just so streaky, and that's always been the downfall. I mean, Sabonis is the clear front runner. But Turner has looked good in two games that he's scored a lot, but he's also had games where he's played 14 minutes and scored 6 points. So Miles Turner's kind of bipolar when it comes to scoring, but he's just such a great defender. And, I mean, this Pacer team, their defense has been good and bad at the same time. I mean, this is the brand-new head coach, Rick Keller, not really known for his defense so much, but I think his defense is better here than it was in Dallas. But I think this team all around is better than the Mavericks last season, besides, obviously, the great Luka Doncic. But, I mean, what are your expectations as the Pacers try to get T.J. Warren back? Like, for this team without T.J. Warren, what are your expectations for them, Kevin?
I mean, I think they'll figure out the defensive end. I mean, it's early in the season. They're having some struggles. They'll kind of figure that out. But, like you were saying, just talking about getting on a roll, I mean, that's going to be a big thing for them, especially with a tough schedule coming up, but definitely some winnable games. But, I mean, honestly, I kind of see this team sticking around 500 for the time being. I mean, they're 3 games back from 500, but I think they'll be able to pick up games along the way to get there. I just think that's kind of where they'll be hanging around for most of the season, or at least until Warren can come back and see what type of impact he makes.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think you got to keep on developing Dorte. And, I mean, that LeVert-Sabonis connection has just been so good. And Turner, I mean, Sabonis has improved on the defensive end. I mean, he had a couple blocks, and he's getting steals. And he played a good game defensively last night against Julius Randle. So, it's going to be interesting, but I'm excited for this Pacer team. But the MLB World Series just conceded a couple days ago, and we're going to talk about it. But we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back on the Sports Spotlight.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No. I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You took the first step and quit smoking. But even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Ya que las vacunas contra el COVID-19 estén disponibles, es posible que te preguntes, ¿debería vacunarme? ¿Me ayudará a volver a hacer lo que me encanta, como reunirme con mis amigos o viajar? ¿Y podré hacerlo sin poner en riesgo a mi familia? Tienes preguntas, y eso es normal. Así que visita detidepende.org para obtener la información más reciente sobre las vacunas contra el COVID-19. Para volver a los momentos que extrañamos, comienza por informarte. De ti depende. Un mensaje del Ad Council y los CDC.
You took the first step.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. You're listening to the Sports Spotlight on WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis.
All right.
I don't think we're on.
Are you?
And you're listening to the Sports Spotlight on WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. I'm your host, Jackson White, here with Kevin Gleva. And now joining us is our soccer expert, Christian Hernandez. How's it going?
It's going well.
It's going well. He was out showing the kids what it's like here at WBDG. So it's a good job you're giving back to the station. But MLB World Series just happened last Tuesday, and we would have ended up talking about it Tuesday, but we didn't come on air since no school. But the Braves beat the Astros in 6 games, and I mean, this was a good series. It was in 6. Game 1 went to the Braves. They won 6-2. Game 2 went to the Astros 7-2. And then Game 3, the Braves really just closed it out, won 2 straight. They were up 3-1, and then the Astros won 9-5 in Game 5, and then Game 6. The Braves took it home 7-0. I mean, the Braves win their first championship in a while. Atlanta finally got a championship after such bad rehab late. They lost the Super Bowl, blowing a 28-3 lead. And, I mean, they have not won a championship in a while. But shout-out to Atlanta. You finally have a champion.
Yeah, I remember last time we had a Sports Spotlight, the World Series was just starting. We were talking about who we thought was going to win Game 1. I remember, I think all of us said the Astros, but the Braves proved us wrong. They're winning that first one, like Jackson said, and really just from there on winning throughout the series, getting that done in 6 games. I mean, their last game was a dominant win, 7-0. And, I mean, good for the city of Atlanta, good for those players. And I guess the Astros kind of in some trouble. I mean, they won a Super Bowl, but then got busted.
A Super Bowl.
A World Series, but got busted for cheating, banging on trash cans and stuff. And then they make it back to the World Series and were unable to win it the legitimate way. So kind of some, I don't want to say hate, but just Astros aren't in the best of light right now.
Yeah, I mean, eventually all this light on them will go away, I would assume, in the offseason. But, I mean, the Braves, I'm happy for the city of Atlanta. They finally got a champion after so long, and they have a championship. The Braves finally do it. I mean, they were kind of a sleeper team. They had 0.5 chance to win the World Series just starting the playoffs, and they did it. They proved the ultimate underdog story, and they won. They won in 6 against a good Astros team, and they blew them out in Game 6, 7-0, 7 runs, nothing for the Astros, so give it up for the Braves.
Yeah.
But the Braves, your world championship, number one, they're going for repeat next year. You're going to have to stay tuned and see what they will do. I know there's lots of good shows about baseball that will keep you in the loop here on WBDG. So On the Mound Mondays, let's see if that still is going to be a thing since this is off season, but we'll always have all the MLB news in the offseason. But now, since Christian, you're joining us, I mean, we do know that the show is ending, and this is always your time to shine. So we're going to send it over to our soccer specialist, and Christian Hernandez.
Thank you, Jackson. A lot has happened since I was last on here. A lot of soccer news regarding different teams and stuff, but today I'm going to be talking about a certain topic about a manager that got sacked as of recently. I'm talking about Tottenham Hotspur's manager, Nuno Espirito Santo. He only took over 17 games at the start of the season, and his record was not that good. He picked up 9 wins, 1 draw, and 7 losses in his first 17 games for Spurs, and those will be the only games he plays, or, you know, controls under Spurs. So he got sacked, and they replaced him with coach Antonio Conte, who did win over in Italy the Serie A. So it's an interesting change of pace for Tottenham Hotspur, and this is definitely a different manager style than what Spurs has had the last couple of years. A lot of people are saying that it's like kind of a bad idea because Antonio Conte is a very like controlling manager in a sense. Like, he really puts pressure on the board when the board doesn't like his way at all. So it's going to be kind of weird seeing how Tottenham had their interactions with Antonio Conte, as that man right there, he is a very strict manager and is very hard to have good terms with, as we saw a couple years back when he was managing Chelsea in the Premier League as well. Despite him winning a title, he still ended up leaving the club due to a bad relationship with the board and stuff, as they wanted to sell players. He didn't want those players to leave, so he just left, which is, in a sense, understandable due to him wanting those players to stay so he could keep building off of what he made. But the club wanted money as well, so it was just a whole back and forth, and that's what happened. And the same similar thing happened over when he went to Inter last season. Despite winning the title, he up and left because they wanted to sell $300 million worth of players. So he was like, nope, I'm gone. And yeah, that's what he did. He left. Now, Antonio Conte is a very good manager. In my opinion, he's one of the best in the world. When he gets his work done and gets it all said and done, he's a credible manager and he gets wins. That's all that matters with a manager at the end of the day. And I don't know about Tottenham Hotspur. They have a really bad team at the moment. They do not have very good players. They have demotivated players, players who don't even want to play there, like Harry Kane. He was heavily linked with a summer boot to Manchester City, which is one of Spurs' rivals in the Premier League. Despite that, he wasn't able to go because Spurs said, no, you're not going to one of our rivals. And now he's been playing absolutely horrible. It's a whole mess over there for Spurs. A lot of players are out of form. Their defense is very janky. It's just wrong for them over there. And I don't know how Antonio Conte is going to exactly rule under there. It's kind of weird to me that he actually joined Spurs, as Tony Conte is not known as a manager who likes to join during the middle of the season, help a struggling side get better, and improve from there. He's more of a manager who likes to join during the summer before the season starts and all that. But he joined because the Spurs owner, Daniel Levy, promised that he can make a bunch of transfers in January and gave him a really big budget to work with. And despite that, I still don't know if this is a good idea for Spurs. As I said, Antonio Conte is a pretty problematic manager, and especially with a club like Spurs who tend to sell their players a lot, I don't see this relationship going very well, in my opinion. I could see Antonio Conte taking Spurs back to a top four finish, qualify them for Champions League, and then eventually leave the team due to bad relations. Yeah, but that's all I have to say about regarding that of Antonio Conte joining Tottenham Hotspur. I'm going to go over the Barcelona, though, as they do have a whole managerial saga going on as well, with them sacking soccer their player legend, Ronald Koeman, from the managerial spot after taking a loss to Real Vallecano in La Liga. Barcelona find themselves in 9th place after beating a team that half of us don't even know around here. So they've been going through a lot right now as currently, and the managerial spot was just
That's what happens when you lose your best player.
Yeah. So Barcelona's been missing Messi, you know. They've been having some weird playing tactics and stuff, especially under Ronald Koeman. He's playing a right back at right wing, which is just not an ideal move. And it did cost him a lot of chances, as we saw Dest. When he got played from a right back to a right wing, he got all these chances. And every time he got a good chance where it's just, you know, hit it a little bit hard, it's in the goal. He skies it. He sends it to the moon. Legend says his shots are still in the air right now. And yeah, that's what happens when you play a right wing, a guy who's playing defense his whole career, a right back, rather, who's playing defense his whole career at right wing. He's going to miss those chances like that, and he's going to mess up. And a lot of people say, well, May doesn't have enough player depth. He does. Barcelona has one of the best youth academy, if not the best youth academy in the soccer world, you know? So they should be If they're really in danger of having low player death, all these injuries and stuff, they need to pull out players from there. Who cares if they're, like, you know, 18 or whatever, you know? You got to bring players out. You're struggling. You're in ninth place. Barcelona has not finished this low since 1980. You're in position to run Barcelona to the ground and have one of their worst finishes in decades. And that's exactly what he was doing prior to, before him getting sacked. So Barcelona did the right decision there, and they appointed Barcelona B manager temporarily. And they're trying to bring back their player legend Xavi over, who's been playing a very attractive type of soccer over in Saudi Arabia. So, you know, it's not a very... Not Saudi Arabia, Qatar, which is, you know, not that big of a league.
It's not a big market, but...
You know, but his... The way he's been playing, it's really good. Last season, he brought his team to be invincible, undefeated the whole season, and play a very reminiscent old Barcelona-style tiki-taka football, which is just pass the ball up and forward, keep the possession, and score, you know? It's a very beautiful, attractive type of soccer that we haven't seen in years because it kind of died out when Pep Guardiola left Barcelona. But looking at that, Xavi's been, you know, kind of trying to bring it back to fruition, and... A lot of people are hoping that Xavi does return to Barcelona, and right now they're having an uphill battle with his Qatar team. As Qatar team is like, no, we're not letting you take him. We need him. But then Barcelona's like, we need a new manager. So they're having kind of a tug of war for Xavi's signature. And it could go either way, in my opinion. Xavi could want to stay a little bit longer, keep making his managerial expertise better and better. Or he could go to Barcelona, risk taking an L in order to bring the team back to their glory days back in from 2008 to 2015. So it's very a very controversial situation over in Barcelona as well. And with that, I'm going to go back to England for one more thing about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Manchester United. He's been a very questionable manager over there. And a lot of people want him out currently, as a few weeks back, they did lose to their arch rival Liverpool 5-0. And despite that, he still somehow kept his job. You know, he's been doing a relatively horrible job there. They have qualified top four last season, but, you know, Manchester United has such a good team currently. They bought so many players in the summer that they should be challenging for the title, and they're not at all. They're not even in top four currently. So, with that, they should be challenging titles. They bought in Cristiano Ronaldo. You don't bring in Ronaldo to finish in the Europa League place. Like, come on. You got to go higher than that. You got to think. You got to go for the Champions League title. You got to go for the Premier League title. You can't be letting five goals go past you by your arch rivals. That's ridiculous. And they were trying to get Antonio Conte, but as you know, Antonio Conte ended up going to Spurs because Manchester United said, we're going to put our faith in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, which is, in my opinion, one of the biggest mistakes you could possibly make right now. That guy, like, 4 years ago was coaching a team in Sweden. Like, who watches Sweden soccer?
No one.
No,
diss to Sweden, but, like, that is nowhere near the level of the Premier League, you know? And I don't see how he still has a job there, personally. He's been a very end manager. He's like a mid-table manager at most. He's not going to get Manchester United titles, in my opinion. Ronaldo keeps on saving him, but it's only a matter of time until he picks up one of those losses again, and he's out. And right now, there's not too many good managers out on the market right now, as, you know, Antonio Conte went to Spurs. And who else is out right now? No one. Made the Lille coach, but he hasn't thought about coming back to coaching recently. So, we don't know. That's all I have to talk about soccer today regarding the coach's situation with all these big teams.
And yeah, it's going to basically wrap up the show there. Thank you for Christian coming on, our soccer's expert. You can listen to him every Tuesday and Thursday talking soccer. I mean, he's always the guy to wrap up the show. But, hey, tonight, sports continue. The Colts taking on the Jets Thursday night football at Lucas Oil Stadium. Pacers, Blazers tomorrow in Portland. And then we'll be right back next Tuesday at 1:15 for another episode of the Sports Spotlight. Hey, we made a Twitter, the_Spotlight. Follow us for all the news, tips, everything we got for the Sports Spotlight. We'll be tweeting all day, every day about sports going on in the world. All of us run the account, so if you want to interact with us, we can do that on our Twitter. So just follow us there at the_Spotlight. But that's going to wrap up the show. As for Christian Hernandez and Kevin Gliva, I've been Jackson White. Thank you for listening to the Sports Spotlight. Good music coming to you. WBDG will be back next Tuesday at 1:15.